Ewan Utson never finished the Sydney Opera House. He was gone in 1966, leaving that inspired exterior flourish, that fabulous set of shells that are now a defining global shorthand for Sydney. The interior, well, that was what might charitably be called a mess. Into this hotbed of builders' rubble, politics and ego, of fiercely conflicting demands from opera, theatre and, yes, even the ABC, into that maelstrom stepped a 34-year-old Sydney architect who took charge and finished the building. Do you know his name? Well, meet Dr. Anne Watson. She is author of a new book based on her extensive PhD research. It's called The Poison Chalice, Peter Hall and the Sydney Opera House. Anne, welcome.
Good morning.
Who was Peter Hall?
The hero of our story. The hero. He was the second architect of the Opera House. He came out of the government architect's office in early 1966. He finished up his five-year stint there and had just gone into private practice when Utzon departed and the New South Wales state government started looking for a replacement. Many architects didn't really want to take up the offer, understandably. Mm-hmm. Peter Hall did, and for reasons that I've never really been able to explain, and possibly he couldn't either, but I think probably he had very little idea, he and his colleagues, of what they were getting themselves into.
Well, is mess too strong a word?
Mess is a very good word. Sums it up very succinctly.
Well, describe that mess for us.
Well, in early 1966, the shells were half finished, but they were, you know, on track basically. So that was all going ahead. But the real hold up was what was going to happen inside the shells. And the stumbling block for Utzon that led to the impasse, that led to his departure, was basically over the design of the main hall, which was then called the major hall. And Utzon was designing a dual-purpose hall, so for concerts and for opera. However, that really went against best practice and expert knowledge throughout the world because concerts and opera are very different kinds of performances, requiring very different kinds of interiors. So there was a lot of compromise in terms of the seating and the acoustics. But Utzon also wanted to use these huge long sheets of plywood and for the ceilings, and the engineers, Arabs, were saying they were too heavy and it had never been done before and they'd have to do, you know, 2 years of experiments. And so it just went on and on and on.
I feel a chauffeur-driven Huff coming at any moment here. Off he went. So it was left. I mean, Peter Hall had to resolve all this, and yes, there was that the stuff on the ground, but rattling around all that were the organisations that were wanting to be tenants of this place, and they had specific and pretty contradictory demands.
That's true. And the main tenant was going to be the ABC, which then managed the Sydney Symphony, which had a subscription series, very successful subscription series in the town hall. But they had so many subscribers, on their waiting list that they needed a lot more room. So they required 2,800 seats. They also wanted optimum acoustics for concerts. And you can't get optimum acoustics for concerts in a dual-purpose hall. For some reason, in late 1965, early 1966, the ABC suddenly realised that, things weren't going the way they wanted down at Bennelong Point. And they started to kick up a bit of a fuss. And then the Elizabethan Theatre Trust, which then managed the opera the nascent opera company, very young opera company, they started to ask questions, and so it all started to fall apart. And then going on in the background continually was this time overrun and this huge budget overrun, change of government. You know, one of their platforms for winning the election was to get the opera house finished.
We're beginning to understand why it's something of a mystery why Peter Hall put his hand up to sort this out.
Well, he just won the Sulman Award, a very prestigious award for a building he did while he was employed by the Government Architects Office. That's Goldstein Hall, a residential college at UNSW. So I think he was pretty pleased with himself. And certainly was very highly regarded in the Government Architects Office and the wider architectural community. So I think there was a bit of that. He loved a challenge.
He was a smart fellow. He's a modernist. You know, he had good sort of aesthetic sense.
He had a terrific aesthetic sense and was a modernist through and through, very enthusiastic about modern design, very enthusiastic about the opera house itself and, you know, the sort of challenges, architectural, engineering, etc., that it threw up. I think really was excited perhaps by the prospect of sort of marrying the aesthetic dilemma with the functional dilemma that really, stymied Utzon's progress.
Aesthetic dilemma, functional dilemma. We could only be talking about one thing, and that is the Sydney Opera House. Dr. Anne Watson joins us, and we're looking at the work of Peter Hall. He's the man who finished that building, and he managed a compromise solution. He resolved those conflicting demands. Tell us what he proposed and built.
Well, basically, things were such a mess that he very early on realised that there had to be some kind of circuit breaker, and that circuit breaker would involve compromise. So the first thing he did was to go off on a 3-month study trip to Europe, North America and Japan. He met with experts in their fields, theatre designers, acoustics experts, etc. Everywhere he went, he took photographs and did little sketches of all sorts of details of interiors and seating dimensions and row spaces. And so he was on a very steep learning curve, but he was very good at absorbing information, of taking it on board and then regurgitating it, I guess, in a sort of more sort of manageable, functional, appropriate form. And that was to his great, great credit, I think.
Did he get the respect that he deserved?
Certainly not. At the time the building opened, yes, but as time went on, the push from the Utzonites remained so strong that the Utzon story sort of continued to be promoted and remained in the sort of public consciousness, while the Hall story, Hall Taunton Littlemore, which was the consortium set up, sort of faded. And I guess the result of that was that the accepted interpretation of the second post-Utzon phase of the Opera House was that it was so full of compromise that, and it wasn't Utzon's design because they had to change the brief. That was the circuit breaker that had to happen. It sort of wasn't worth bothering about and was kind of second rate. And I'm sure there was a bit of cultural cringe going on there too, because it was a team of Australian architects who took over, not a exotic European.
I mean, it is true that it's still a compromised building in terms of function. I mean, and that's something which is now, you know, beginning to be addressed.
It is compromised to some extent. I mean, I know there's a lot of criticism of the acoustics in the concert hall, but when the building opened, they were considered to be quite good. They were compromises that had to happen in order for the building to open and
To get this thing done.
And of course the Opera Theatre is compromised. They knew that at the time. It was designed as a drama theatre, but some opera had to go somewhere when concerts took over the main hall.
What's the old joke that Australia has a great opera house, the buildings in Sydney, the stages in Melbourne and the car parks in Adelaide? However,
too true.
I mean, for Peter Hall, it, look, he I think it'd be fair to say, you know, died unhappy about his legacy, the way he's remembered.
He did, and I think it was all basically, you know, his life went on a downward spiral from about the late 1980s. His employment prospects weren't great. He was drinking, his marriage split up. And then on top of that, in 1994-95, a new exhibition opened at the Opera House, put on by the Opera House and the State Library. And it was an exhibition about Utzon's final drawings. And the media got hold of the story and decided that those drawings showed that Utzon's designs were fully resolved. And so that was, you know, sort of beat up by the media, and that was then turned into criticism of, again, of the architects, including Peter Hall, of course, who took over. So I know from correspondence that, you know, it affected Peter Hall quite severely.
It's cruel. I mean, the great thing for you as a researcher here, and this has consumed you for some years, that there's an extensive archive. I mean, the records are there to be pored over.
They are. There's a huge archive out at State Records, and of course the Peter Hall Archive is fantastic, and that was the starting point for my research, and that's what really sort of changed my views about what happened after Utzon left. And the Peter Hall collection is at the moment being acquired by State Library, so it will be accessible to the public fairly soon, which is a great thing.
How did you come across that great body of material?
I was a curator at the Powerhouse in 2007 and had just published a book called Building a Masterpiece, the Sydney Opera House. And an architect friend had met Willie, I can't remember how, Trevor Waters was his name, and he said, oh, you must come down and have a look at Willie's father's archive. And, you know, so a bit reluctantly I did, and had a few hours in the shed with all this material. This is down in Mittagong in the country. And, you know, I really had a change of heart. So it sort of evolved from there.
It's become something of, well, there's a bit of a theme in your life's work, Anne, over this decade or so.
Yes, and strangely enough, someone's just emailed me about her grandfather, who was the one of the architects of the Australian War Memorial, who, again, I think is one of these forgotten stories. So stay tuned.
Yes, well, and forgotten stories. And you mentioned before the great A.A. Phillips Meangian expression, the cultural cringe. And
yeah.
It's alive and well in a lot of our appreciation of well, our cultural heritage. It's sad to see the work of someone like Peter Hall to be derided and ignored, but now saved by your wonderful work and book.
Yes, and I think the good thing is that the Opera House are also taking it on board. They've included mention of the Hall work in their tours, their very popular tours, in their video presentations, and there's some discussion about a plaque to, you know, commemorate and observe the Hall Todd a little more contribution, just as there is one for the Utzon contribution.
It would be fitting. It was very much a shared endeavour. And thank you for walking us through that.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Anne Watson, her new book, and it's based on her PhD research, and as you've heard, she has an earlier work on the Opera House as well. And the new book is called The Poison Chalice, Peter Hall and the Sydney Opera House.